Just trying to understand it.
Look at my posture. James Raymond's father actually made me one, but I used that at home, so I didn't bring it in here. I think it was meant for, yeah. I don't know, I use it at home, so it's just, I use it there for more than I do.
Vic, tell me he's in the process of making one of those big ones, flat packs, so you can send it over here. What do you mean? Like a big extender, but flat packs that pull together to get
there. We're on Daf Nun
Zayin.
Zayin.
Yes.
Yeah. The Shutfim or us. The Shimmas are really the Kima, Kerima, Mitzvahs. The Schusam or Elim Kaim. Only the Schus of Klavish of the world exists. The Kosh Baruch is Oilam Ba'ifim. Shekiviyachol Yesh Dvorim. Shabay Oilam Einu Yeich Lasoysim Beladeinu. Kosh Baruch made the world in such a way that really Kiviyachol speaking, he can't do without us. Advorim Kashim. Kate said, "Nitzan lemish akosh baruch in yechol v'arei who kol yechol." Oh, so he has the kasha that's bothering everywhere. How can it be akosh baruch who can't? We didn't do this. We got to the bottom of Nun Vav. Okay, so we're at the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Hashutfim. We never did this.
No, we didn't do that. So we got to here.
We
didn't do Hashutfim. Yeah, but we didn't read it inside.
It's not.
Yeah, we spoke about it, but I want to see it inside. Hashutfim. Heman Israel HaMashinim is a Bria Lidei Kiyum HaTorah VaMitzvos. Klal Yisrael is that which completes the Bria via the Kiyum HaTorah Mitzvos. Rak B'Schus HaMoilam Kaim. Only in the Eschus does the world exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Yisrael HaMoilam Ba'ifin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way Shekeviyachol. Yesh Dvorim Shebo'im Eni Yechel HaSeisim Beladeinu. There are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do without us. Ah, Advarim Kashim. That's very hard to understand. Kaitzah Nitzan Lemush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yechol, Ba'arei Hu Kol Yechol. Like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't, and he can do anything. That's been bothering us all along. But from the moment he introduced us to this parasha of that we somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us, and we're giving and whatever, we've been bothered by this question, we've been meekly sidestepping it, but really bothering the question, how can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us when he doesn't need anything? Enough because it's good, very limizu. And we're saying that's the whole basis of Ashkofa. That's what's going to get us the mess. From now on, further on, we're going to explain these things in length and hopefully some depth as well. Something that you want to say?
Me?
You. Looked like you wanted to say something. Oh, okay. Ten daitcher shalot to kalel v'tachir v'solami. Be very cautious that you don't destroy and uproot my world. Damage and destroy. How does this partnership work? As we said above, the purpose of creation is to do good. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that it is lacking certain goodness. Because Bohu then provides their goodness. What is the ultimate good? What is the good that we want? To have a relationship with Hashem. Tevis is Lotus of Bishlemusa in who it's intended. But we said that this Shlemus is not, that this goodness is not the real goodness if you don't work for it, if it gets given as a present, because there's always that element of the bread of shame. Therefore, he chayeves litkabel kesocho. Therefore, person has to receive it as a socho. He worked for it. Kinyan ishi shel adam. There has to be a personal kinyan of each person. Does that make sense? You've got to get this clear, once and for all. We're going to say it many times before we finish the sefer, but you've got to get this into your head clear. Because Baruch Hu wants to give good. The ultimate good is what? Is him. So he can just give it to us. Yeah, but then you're going to be eating the bread of shame. You didn't do anything for it, and you get this enormous prize. You get the $50 trillion first prize, and you did nothing. You did it while you were sleeping. So it's going to be lacking that aspect of how end it.
Accomplishment.
Whatever the opposite of bread of shame is.
How come Hashem couldn't create us with the...
He could have. He never ever asked those questions. You can't ask that question. That's pre-Master Bosch's question. Why did Kosh Baruch Hu choose to create the world in such a way? We don't know. You can't ask the question. There's no need to ask. You're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that you would receive for nothing and not feel the bread of shame. Okay, but that's pre-Master Bereishis. That's what's wrong?
I thought we said the other day in secular society we look up to the guy who won the lottery, who did it with no, I mean, he got it just like that.
Yeah, we do. That's the exact opposite of us.
Yeah.
But we see what happens to those people, by the way. We look up to them because there's something wrong with them. We look up to them. I was saying that as a criticism. Mm. Because yeah, he was going to have, he's going to go start grabbing nuts. Most of those people eventually just go bonkers. You know what you see? There's an incredible statistic, okay? It was a Forbes magazine statistic I once saw sitting in some donor's room, waiting to see a guy. It showed that like, the vast majority of wealthy families, by the third generation, only stayed in the family for three generations. Well, because the Zeta worked hard, he had nothing, and he crawled out and he made lots of money. The son was there with the Zeta working hard and whatever, but they already had money. The grandson never worked for it. He just got it for a present, so he's going to squander it. It's going to just get squandered. Now I'm saying, because we're the opposite. I'm saying, I was using that as a lie of the Western world. The opposite of the Western world values that which just gets given for nothing. Gimme. Yeah. That's why they're in such a mess.
They have no fulfillment. It's hard for us to have a concept of bread of shame.
Of course it's hard for us to have a concept of bread of shame. Of course it is.
Why is it hard?
Because we're taught all the time.
So therefore you have to find other areas of working out where this bread of shame is. You see, society has created. Let's just stop for a second. We're in two brackets here, parenthesis. The problem is like this, Adam. You with me? The problem is like this: is that aspect of a Koros HaTov in us has been badly damaged. It's been perverted. We get rid of the bread of shame by saying thank you. Say thank you. Thank you. I'm good. The jersey's on. You know, a bus is about to hit somebody and a guy mama's risked his life to drag you out from under the bus. Saved your life. So now there's a terrible threat. The guy saved your life. So how do you get rid of it? Thank you. Bouquet of flowers. You know, you give him a television set for a present. You pay him back. You get rid of the debt. You even things out. So now there's no more bread of shame. We don't realize why we're doing it. There's another thing we do with bread of shame. We twist into guilt. Most kids do that to their parents. Is we feel terribly guilty. Why? Because they're giving and giving and giving. The other thing you can do is destroy the relationship. You can wreck the relationship. Now you don't have to think of this person anymore because he's such a rosh anyway. I don't have to think about it. Or you can hero worship the person. You put him on a pedestal. Put him on his heart pedestal. He's a tzaddik. Tzaddik, of course. Such a big tzaddik. Of course. Doesn't machayv me anymore. He's a big tzaddik, you know. If Moshe Feinstein isn't machayv me, well, he's a tzaddik.
What can I do to come close to what he's doing? I can't do anything with which I'm going to.
No, I'm coming close of Tov.
Yeah,
he did me a big favor. So I don't feel bad about it, you know what? Because he's a big tzaddik anyway, so of course he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying,
yeah.
We get rid of the bread of shame in a whole lot of different ways without even realizing that's what we're doing. But we do feel it all the time. Jamie's right. Pay the guy. Just pay. Money's the best way of getting rid of it. But I paid you. What do you want? I'm going to say thank you as well. We do it all the time. So you were.
Yeah, I was going to say, but isn't there, maybe this is because we're perverted, but maybe isn't there like. Somebody does like a good turn for you, whatever it is, like, and you send them flowers, whatever. That's just like the right thing to do.
I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. I'm saying it balances out. It could be saying thank you. You should say thank you. You don't say thank you, you're an ingrate.
Right.
But don't think you're Yotzi Zion with thank you.
So how do you become Yotzi Zion?
Oh, very good. Excellent question. What would be? Take a scenario where there was no ways you could say thank you. You couldn't pay the guy back. What would you do? Hey, you don't want to put him on a person. You're not going to gate him.
Let's say you can't.
I can't. Let's say I've just stopped you from doing that. I've tied your hands behind your back. You can't. You can't pay him back. He's gone.
Shrivel up.
Oh, so Adam's very close. Wish him well. You take that icky feeling and you turn into love. It may manifest itself in davening. Love does in davening. You wish the person well. You become part of his support system. Enough in that idea. Because what Rebecca was talking about is the ultimate way you do chesed for another person is that he doesn't feel indebted, and you don't feel like a hero. That's the Avram bearing Sarah model. That's the ideal. But where most of us are not in that situation, and we are being told this by other people, and we are expecting a little bit, you know, back my way. We are looking for the rebound, even though we pretend we're not. So you do create debt, and we do create indebtedness in the people we give to, and we do have these sort of expectations. So the way to subvert those icky feelings is to care for the other person, wish him well.
Or if you're burying the dead, and that's the ultimate chesed.
Good, so there's no indebtedness there. There's no indebtedness. You're not a hero because you're burying your wife. She feels no indebtedness whatsoever because it's kulu magyeli. So when you're giving to people, they have to feel that the magyeli, I didn't get anything really because it was mine in the first place. That's how chochem would suffer. That's how chochem. Those things will be melchazal are full of those kind of incidences. You have to go learn how to do it. When you do chesed for a person, such a way, he isn't feeling indebted at all. That's okay. There are people like that. I'm telling you, the people in the world today that must do so much big chesed, and you almost don't feel like they did you anything. And then you think about what they did, you realize, wow, that was like, you know, that was big, man. And it's like, let's make it so long. Yeah. So that's the sugya kosa toif. That's also going its own, and it's probably the most important sugya to look into, because most of our relationships get destroyed somewhere around about the subject. But having enough doing something in your marriage, even remotely successful, you're going to have to confront this issue. Because this is the big issue. The kosa toif being developed, the giving between the couples is creating enormous, enormous debts and icky feelings and all sorts of stuff going on here. Not dealt with in the proper way, it can cause all sorts of problems. And on the other hand, if it's used properly, it can solve most of the problems. Kosatot can get rid of, if used properly, can get rid of all irritation, it can get rid of all arguments, fights. Just, you have so much of Kosatot, so whatever. Kosatot just wipes it out.
Then get the step 4, how does it cause the problems in a relationship?
Is this gate? The last time you saw your white shirt was crumpled up on the floor in the washing room, yeah? And you go up to court and you come home and then it's ironed and hanging up in your cupboard. How did it get there? Tooth fairy? Who did that? There was the lightning struck the house and your shirt sort of got flung into the cupboard all good and clean and fresh. Elizabeth! And I paid her, Sean Potter. Whatever it is, no Elizabeth. It happens to be the lady you said I ran at Mukuteshisli to. Also, then there's a debt of gratitude correctly. She was busy, you know, getting your dirty laundry into your cupboard clean.
Right, so
there's a debt now, so you feel a bit icky. So you can start coming up with all sorts of, you know, it can create all sorts of barriers because you don't want to look at the bread of faith. So you don't want to look at your benefactor in the face. You're feeling icky by this person, so you stop putting up barriers. So you don't have to confront dark or satire. So now, one shirt, one thing, you know, but there was a hot meal on the table, the house was clean, the kids got dressed, they got taken to the doctor. A million things happened today while you were away from home learning, and that she all did, you know, that you were supposed to do.
You're saying it stops the person, can stop a person from being able to say thank you because...
Depends how you feel.
Because they feel...
When somebody does you a favour, creates a debt. That debt makes you feel icky. You've got to get rid of that icky feeling somehow. So you start feeling guilty.
Right. Well, because it isn't enough just to say thank you, because that
doesn't... Thank you's not going to do it.
That's just the...
Of course you should say thank you. But not just thank you, you should notice the little things that were done and thank them specifically. And yeah, that's all important. You have to do that. Why? Because the people want to be appreciated.
But then how do you actually get rid of the debt?
By loving the person, by taking that debt and giving it back to them and caring. By wishing the person well.
Why don't we? And then why do we naturally...
Because no one ever told us that there's a way to do that. No one ever showed us that there's another path out of this problem. No one ever showed us that, you know what, I can actually wish another person well. I can actually take a minute out of my life to love that person and wish for them that they should have a good day. Care for them. Be part of their support system. Root for them. There's a lot of things you can do back. Of course, we're not saying not. You can do things back, you know. Gifts, flowers, I mean, all positive stuff. Notes. There's a lot of stuff you can do.
And that also gets you out of debt, though.
Of course it is. I'm saying there's a lot of things you can do to get you out of the debt. I'm not saying not. But if you don't deal with it, it's going to grow and grow and grow until you're going to have to cook up a storm in order to create some...
Yeah, but I mean,
Like it always is going to require absolute reciprocation. Because any time you do something, then you do something back to pay back, so to speak, then you've created a debt on the other side.
If you have to be a chacham enough to deal in such a way, you're not creating a debt. Rabbi Aaron Kotler once, there was a guy going around Lakewood, mama screaming at mama, saying terrible things about Rabbi Aaron. So he turned around to his son and he said, I don't know what the guy's got against me. I've never helped him in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never done anything for him. Why is he so upset with me? If I've done something for the guy, I can understand he's trying to stab me in the back because he's shemzach. So the Amoridic of the Morah. It's a Mishnah, actually. It's a Mishnah where. No, all of us don't. It's a Mishnah. If you take a grapevine, because you want to create a new grapevine. So what's the process? The Mishnah says you take it and you plant it under the ground, make like a thing like this, and you bring it out the other side.
Like a Basra,
no? Maybe. No, it's a Mishnah in Zeroim somewhere. You bring it down here and you stick it down under the ground and then you stick the head out the ground. What's going to happen is it's going to take root here and it's going to become its own independent vine. Now, the Shaila is when do you start counting for Ola? Is when it takes root. The problem is we don't have X-ray vision. We don't know when it takes root. It says the Mishnah, you know when you start counting from all that, when the leaves of the new vine turn to face the old vine. Yeah. This pshat, this is the Chaim Friedlander, the following pshat. Listen to this pshat, scintillating. As long as the new vine is still being nurtured from the mother tree, it's too embarrassed to turn around and face the mother tree. The minute it's growing on its own, it's nourishing itself, and it's not feeding off the mother tree, it has no problem turning around looking at the mother tree. So you can be sure that it's on its own now.
Is that refined?
Chaim Friedlander. Don't ask me where. It's in the Sifsa Chaim Summit, I don't know where. Somebody asked me the other day, and I said I'd find it, and I just haven't had a chance. It says of Chaim there that a Rebbe should know that he has to find ways for his Talmidim to do him favors, because otherwise he's creating a debt of gratitude that the Talmidim can never ever pay back, and it's going to create problems. Hello, Rav Aaron Kotler. Like, why is he upset with me? He never learned yet. I never did anything for him. And you said many times how there's a debt that gets created. First of all, the Rebbe has to make sure that the Talmud doesn't feel he's indebted. But on the other hand, the Talmud has to feel indebted. So you're creating this terrible relationship here. So you have to find ways to pay back the debt. That's what he brings from this Mishnah. The Raya brings from this Mishnah. But you see, it comes up in all the relationships. There's always this. The biggest Russia, the biggest mafia guy knows, I owe you one. Yeah? He's about to kill you because, you know, whatever. And then he suddenly remembers you want to, whatever, help his grandmother. Oh, you're right, I owe you one. A debt's a debt. Yeah? I'm calling in my debt. What are you calling in the debt? That's the way.
Is that out of guilt or is that out of giving?
No! There's a debt, I have to pay my debt. That's not out of guilt or giving. There's a debt, a debt has to be paid. I borrowed money from you, I've got to pay you back. But there's a debt being created. And the bigger the debt, the more the shame. Someone saves your life. It's like, you know, that's huge. You'll start having to find ways to balance that out because it's too big for you to deal with. We don't like being indebted.
What about when you're exempt from having to pay back someone?
What do you mean?
If you're in debt to someone and then you don't, then...
There's a bread of shame aspect there, and you're left with a bread of shame. Guy lent you money and whatever, in the end he used Schmitter to. Schmitter doesn't potter you, by the way.
No.
Schmitter allows you to choose. It means it prevents him from achieving you the payment, but it doesn't potter you from paying.
No.
People make a mistake.
Yeah.
Schmitter allows you to choose whether you can or not. It means it gives you space to work it, but it doesn't mean, oh, Schmitter's come, I'm off. Today, most people write crucibles. I once borrowed money from somebody, and I was paying him off, and checks, and I was paying him off, and this is the last Schmitter. So what was I borrowing money from? Ah, for the clubhouse. So, I see after like 2-3 months, he hasn't deposited the checks. So I phoned him up, I said, what's going on? You haven't put in the checks? He said, you haven't heard of Schmitter. I said, you haven't heard of Krusbul? He said, I don't write Krusbul. Come Schmitter, I write off. That's what I got from my father. Bob Shuva, no such thing.
He didn't pay what he was.
No, I borrowed money from him. And I was giving checks. I gave him 36 checks or whatever, yeah.
Right.
And I see afterwards, not depositing the checks. So I found him up to find out what's going on. He said, you never heard of Schmitter. That's it, right off the gate. And for that, it wasn't for me, it wasn't my, I didn't borrow the money. I borrowed the money for a soccer thing. It's a sport fund. You want to donate money instead of lending money, that's your problem. But I'm just saying that there are people still today, but they're few and far between. These people don't like to prove all today. It's straight to death. This is a big sugya. This is a sugya on its own. It's a sugya with an ultimate sugya that's got to be understood very, very, very well. Of successful relationship. Yes. I just wanted to make it more real, so, but I don't want to go talk about people's private lives on tape. Do you understand? You don't understand how hard it is of Kodesh Baruch Hu? You want to deal with the icky feelings of a Kodesh Tovin of Kodesh Baruch Hu? So that's one of the ways you give back to Hashem. You give back, you wish Hashem well, so to speak. You love Hashem. That's the tool you use in order to balance out the debt of a Kodesh Tovin of Kodesh Baruch Hu.
But is it out of a feeling of guilt or that you're indebted to them?
There's a debt. Whether you like it or not, there's a debt. And the debt is payable. It's not good or bad. What do you do with the feelings of that debt? It can either be subverted into something negative, or it can be used as a positive springboard into life.
The person doesn't really want to be, I don't mean mine, but there's some things that are difficult in their voice of shame. And so what are they going to do? They're going to, well, I'm not really 100% sure why I'm doing it, but because I have the debt to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore I'm going to
break myself. No, that's a very low level I'm talking about. I'm talking about a much higher level than that. I know that I'm debtor to Hashem. I call Mishim and Mishim, call Hashem and tell God, of every breath I take, I'm indebted to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for every breath. Go to the bath, or put your head in a bucket, okay, and say, I'm not coming up. Yeah? And stay down there as long as you can, until your mama's blue in the face, and take that first breath. Now imagine every breath is like that, right? Every breath is like that. Every breath, we take it for granted, we don't even notice we're breathing. But every breath is like that. Stop breathing now. And then that first breath afterwards, you understand what every breath is worth. Go to the lung ward or whatever, one of these places, and people are pumping out the machines and they can't breathe, they don't understand what it means of every breath. There's an enormous debt there, right? So now what do you do with that debt? Inside yourself, feel warm, cuddly feelings towards Hashem. So, just give it back to Hashem. Or you can feel guilty, or you can deny that this is Hashem, or you can deny that breathing is that important, or you can cook up a whole bunch of different things, which we do all the time without even realizing it. Never stop to think about this before. But if you stop and you think, you go through your day, you'll see all the time it's there. Or you can just wish Hashem, no? Good, there's some confused faces around the table. Excellent. Because you never thought about the subject before. I'm telling you, this is the subject. Because I'll say, whoever doesn't ever cause a toy to a fellow human being will eventually deny Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a big step, no? Mm. You're a bit of an ingrate. So you'll deny that there's a Hashem in the world? Yeah. Because if you can't ever cause a toy, if you can't take that debt and turn it into a positive feeling, then eventually you're going to have to deny Hashem, because that's much too big. That's humongous. Okay, Rabbi. It's food for thought, that's all. Think about it. Become aware, watch it.
So the maestro I heard about Rabbi Big the Miller that told that he was walking along with a bocha or something, and his bocha had asthma, and he was like complaining about air, how bad the air was, and he couldn't really breathe properly. So he gets in, so Rabbi Big the Miller gets home, and he goes to his kitchen sink and fills up a sink with water. And his son came in and found him like dunking his head in the water for half a minute, lifting up and gasping for air. So he asked his daddy, he said, Rob, you know, what are you doing? And he said, I was just walking with someone who was complaining to me about the quality there. And I just wanted to do this to get my appreciation back, just in case I'd lost my appreciation a little bit for what air was, just by listening to this guy. So I wanted to just get back my level of appreciation. Yeah,
That's the vodka. That's the Slobodka approach. You've got to make them surreal. It's not good enough to just sit here meditating. Sit down and break it down. Break the problem down into its most basic parts. I don't appreciate breathing. Okay, so set yourself up a scenario where you'll appreciate breathing.
How come people have completely thrown out that in the mainstream ideas?
Maribam always spoke about it.
They're not like,
we don't see people sticking their heads into buckets, because usually you don't do it in public. You don't know what I'm doing when I'm in the mikvah. You don't know what I'm thinking about when I'm down there. That's it, Hashem, I'm not coming up. You want me to come up? You fool, I'm not coming up. That's it. You know what that's deep. You know what Kabbalah's people are having. You know what people are doing. You don't know. Those are always things that people did. You have to understand there's a lot of sneers and there's a lot of quiet things. You've got to be creative. Be creative in your body, Sashem. You gotta run your life like it was a business. Simple. If you ran your life like it was a business, yeah, you'd run your life very differently. You wouldn't run a business like this. You'd be creative, you'd be thinking about profit, you'd be thinking about time, you'd be thinking about productivity, you'd be thinking about a whole bunch of things you don't think about. But your life's the only business you're really ever gonna have. It's the only important business you're gonna have. The others all just be status for panacea. This is the real business. So run your life like a businessman. Look how the rich people run their lives. Run their businesses. You run your life like he runs his business. You'll see you're on a different level. You're on your way to enormous greatness.
Why don't people do that?
What's the Yetzer Hara? You heard of it?
Yeah.
That's why you don't.
Yeah, I know.
The work is to find ways to trick your
Yetzer Hara. It's a very sensible thing to do, but...
Because you have a Yetzer Hara. And I'll tell you something, you can see how important it is by how hard the Yetzer Hara won't let you do it. Simple cheshbon. Just do a simple cheshbon. I can spend a good few hours at night working at the finances, right? The yeshivas, my own, whatever, back and forth and juggling and trying and playing and whatever. When it comes to doing a cheshbon and nefesh, 30 seconds what happened? What happened? And the seichel tells you. The seichel's poshut. I don't have to sell this to anybody.
Mm.
Everybody understands that they'll do 5 minutes cheshbon and nefesh every night for a month. You'll be great. You're only worried to enormous godless. So how come no one can do it for more than 3 days in a row? Try. You think I'm joking with you? 5 minutes every day. You know what? Forget about 5 minutes. 3 minutes before you go to sleep every day. Think about a cheshbon and nefesh. What does it mean? It's like a businessman. Look at the day that was. Ask yourself what you did in business today. Did it bring you closer to your goal or not? And how are you going to do different tomorrow? How are you going to get up tomorrow morning? When you go to sleep at night, you have to decide how you're going to get up in the morning. Don't leave it to chance. You plan. I found a businessman for the middle of January. I'm going to be in South Africa. The middle of January, the guy's busy, like Professor said, he's flipping through his diary. No, full there, maybe Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, I've got an opening. What are you talking about? It's in 3 months' time. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. These guys have got their lives. Take Rav Nach's 48 ways on Niyot Schoira, on minimizing business. He gives a whole shiur there on how to run your life like a businessman. It's devastating. That's it. You ever heard it? Yeah, they still teach 48 ways in
it? No, I listened to it.
Ah, okay. I had a hard time trying to persuade them when I was there. I had to smuggle it in. Funny place. But that 48 ways is superb. Superb, superb. Someone's got them now? Do you have them? I've got the notes, whatever, get the tape. This is half an hour, 25 minutes. Change your life. That's one of those few sharing in the world that actually is real. Mom is down to earth, practical, real.
Which one is it?
Niyot Schoira. I don't know what number it is. I used to know them off the hop.
16?
I think
Could be totally wrong, but
it tells me it's 16. Could be. Rings a bell.